everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of Magic FM. I'm Gammy Sparts, one of your hosts. I'm joined by Mashi Scanlon, as always. Mashi, welcome.
Hey, Gabby, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually, you can see behind me, I'm actually, this is the final day. We're actually in overtime at the Channel Fireball warehouse. We've, you know, changed locations from Santa Clara in the South Bay to Nevada. So everything's over in Henderson now. And I'm literally here and they're just hauling trash everything to the away.
I have enjoyed that every time I've done a check-in with you over the last like 2 weeks. I feel like there's less and less stuff where you're at. Like there used to be a backdrop. There's no longer a backdrop. Nope. There used to be stuff in the background. There was a table and chair. There's definitely nothing there anymore.
Yeah. It's all happening. So it is weird. We have a bunch of silos here and I'm the only person here. So I'm the only person here right now. So if that door opens or if something happens, I'm done. It's totally over.
It's ready for Spooktober. It is October 1st. Yeah.
So how are things over there?
Good. Good. I'm excited about October. I have like Halloween emotes and stuff on my channel, and there I've been playing a lot of Among Us, which is a pretty spooky game.
Where murder? What?
I've been playing a lot of Among Us. I also saw the showdown between Lords Unlimited and the resources showdown yesterday. So for those who didn't know, let me shout it out because this was such a cool thing, and we want to do more of this moving forward. CFB. Well, you know, there's a lot of podcasts under the CFB umbrella, and one of them are the resources podcast, so Constructed Resources, Limited Resources. The other ones are Lords Unlimited with Ethan and Ben. And so they decided to do a showdown, and it was like a battle of the CFB podcast for, you know, limited greatness, whatever you want to call it.
Bragging rights.
Yeah, mostly bragging rights. Bragging rights.
That's like more than almost any prize.
Totally bragging rights. So it was a team draft, and they did a draft on an outside client. But team drafts, for those who are not familiar, are very different than the normal draft, because you know how most players, they ask for advice like, should I hate draft this out of my pot? And people always tell you, no, it's not worth it to hate draft. Like, it's just not worth it because you want to make your deck better. That all goes out the window with team draft. In team draft, it's actually actively good to take cards that you don't want the other teams to get, especially if you can figure out which colors they are. Because that stops them from having like really busted rares. Like a lot of times you'll just pass a card and you're like, I don't care who ends up with this, but in this it does matter. So the teams were BK, Marshall, and Luis versus Ethan, Ben, and Alex Nikolic. And it was so much fun. They were all streaming it, and you can actually go between all the streams and you could see all the matches, and they were all, you know, everybody was watching them all together. So people were giving updates like, okay, Marshall's up a game, or like Ethan's up a game, Luis just lost his game, like you need to rally. So it was super cool. It was like one of the more fun stream events I've seen like basically this whole year. I loved it. And they all had a really good time with it too.
I think it was awesome. And then, you know, with the hate drafting thing, there's a great discussion happening on Luis's Twitter where kind of the perfect example is he passed a Ruin Crab and then he saw a second one and he was like, no, I don't want to pass this because
they knew a deck would get really good with double Ruin Crab. That's so cool.
And so it's like, it's not just color, but strategy, like that mill strategy in this format. Like it's the perfect example of something, you know, if you're drafting online, you're like, whatever, take the Ruin Crab, especially if it's a league where you're like, I may not even play you.
Yeah. What do you, I you're, care? In you league, get, your chances of actually playing that person are so low.
Yeah. And so it's totally fine, but in a team draft, you're guaranteed you're going to play the person, right? And you need to make sure that someone's not snapping that up. And it was awesome content. The one thing that I saw is I tuned in towards the end when Marshall was playing, and I think Marshall actually, his win is what cemented it for Team LR. And Luis was streaming it, and Marshall was on the screen too. And I thought because normally in team drafts, you can talk to each other.
Right, right.
And I thought they could, like, it was weird because they were both talking. And I'm like, wait, are they just talking over each other? And Luis was saying all these things, and then Marshall wasn't doing them. And I was like, wait, what the heck's going on? Like, why? Like, are they not communicating? And they weren't. But it was great. I think we got to do more stuff like this at Channel Fireball, or, you know, arrange stuff like this. And it is must-watch stuff. And I think it was really popular. Everything, like literally everything I've heard about it is how excited
everyone was. Just so excited. I saw so many people. I actually passed on some of this feedback to the marketing team because I just was watching Luis's stream. So many people were saying like, this is the event I've been most excited about this entire year. And I know it's like not a super high production thing, but I'm like so excited because And you and I have talked about this a bunch. Like, there's just not that much limited stuff, unfortunately. Exactly. There's a ton of love for constructed tournaments and showdowns and that sort of thing, but limited just doesn't get that much love. There's so many people who love limited. So this was like a team draft, and it's like a cool team draft, you know? I know Luis was stoked today. He was just like, I mean, I think he would have been really happy whether, like, he did win, so he was happy about that. But I think he would have been really excited regardless. Like, it was just such a cool event.
I mean, Luis, it's so weird when you're a fan of this game and you play this game. Like, Alex Nikolic commented, like, I can't believe I get to write an article about how I beat LSV.
That's so cool.
And, you know, even though Luis, you know, win or lose in an event like that, it's just like, it's so fun. It's just so fun to do. And I mean, let's face it. We're going to get into this later in the show when we talk about, you know, bands. People want to play limited right now. Yeah. I mean,
Limited is really good right now.
And I do the Monday meta with Martin, and I cannot, Gabby, this is not an exaggeration. This is like my real life. I cannot bring myself to build a standard deck and play it. I can't. And I feel irresponsible because we talk about standard in there, and Martin and I, we have a private Slack. And last week he was like, this week he was like, I just want to do like a 15-minute episode. Like, I don't even want to talk
about it. I just don't even want to talk about it. I mean, honestly, like, I was pretty demoralized. I mean, we'll get into this when we talk about bans. But I was so demoralized with the bans this week that, like, I just didn't even stream Magic for a couple of days. Like, I was just feeling really bad about how things went down. And we'll talk about that later. But it's to get me to not even want to stream Magic, I just streamed a bunch of Among Us, it's hard to get me... Mm-hmm. To into that spot, and I definitely ended up there anyway. So,
especially with how good limited is, as you said,
because limited is really fun. But I was just feeling like, I don't know, just
dejected.
Yeah, exactly. So that has been,
Gabby,
part of it too.
You've mentioned Among Us a bit. Any other games you could play if you didn't want to play Magic right now that Channel Fireball could help with?
Ooh, I believe I have the answer in this extremely smooth segue. Ba-ba-ba, did you see that? What about Pokemon Mush?
What?
What a
Channel
crazy
Fireball
idea.
Does Pokemon?
Well, that was our extremely smooth segue into the ad read for our sponsor of the podcast, ChannelFireball.com. Channel Fireball is launching a Pokemon section. Ba-ba-ba.
It's awesome.
Who's that Pokemon? It's CFP. So yeah, that's the goal. CFP is creating the hub for Pokemon players around the world. And that is whether it's casual or competitive. Imagine what we have with CFP right now, except for Pokemon. So this includes a lot of really cool stuff, like hiring amateur writers who are going to be doing content, articles and videos, products that you can buy for Pokemon. And it's all starting today. I mean, you're going to hear about this later because the podcast will be published tomorrow, but October 1st.
it's live Thursday, October 1st. I mean, if you go to Channel Fireball right now, if you were to, it's just peppered with Pokemon articles because we just did a huge dump. And it's really interesting. The way we launched Channel Fireball, a little Channel Fireball history here, is Luis was a local player. We knew him. We decided we want to get, really wanted to grow online. And at the time, for those of you who don't remember, TCG Player was called Brain Burst, and Brain Burst was the place for a long while. I went to kind of Dojo and Meridian Magic and then Brain Burst. And Pete Hoefling at Star City, he took all the Brain Burst authors and had Star City. And so now Superstars existed. There was no Channel Fireball. Well, we thought, okay, this one, we need to make content. So Luis was local. We got Luis on board, and he pulled in his good friend Jerry T. Those were our two original authors.
That's all we had budget for.
And we launched that way. And now it's a very different world for Channel Fireball. And one of the things we did for the Pokemon launch is we went to all of the major Pokemon sites. We interviewed for a great editor, Caleb. He's a great kid. And had him, like, he's also a pro Pokemon player. Had him, like, evaluate who is good, who makes great content. And we just went wide. We found all the best content producers on all the other websites that, hey, we want to do this. Come do it with us. And so it's pretty awesome. I was skimming the content today. I am told we have the best Pokemon content on the internet.
Like, that's really sweet.
The best.
That's really good. No, it's so sweet. And I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of questions about this, so I did want to just, like, answer ahead of time. Because there is a CFB Pro Pokemon version, but it's the same as CFB Pro. So if you have CFB Pro, that means you can also read the CFB Pro Pokemon content. So it's even just expanding what CFP Pro is already doing, and CFP Pro does a lot of stuff right now, which is even sweeter for everybody who's currently subscribed. So yeah, that's all live, and you can check it out right now if you go to channelfireball.com.
And there's also a CFP Pro showdown for Pokemon.
Oh yeah, so that's
Pokemon
true.
Online client.
That's true. We're gonna have bounties just like happening. We do for the yep. magic stuff. Yeah,
we're figuring out the end boss. It's just the same thing. So it's great. And then the final thing I think is super important is we're pre-selling the new set for Pokemon Vivid Voltage, and we have just the best price anywhere.
Awesome.
It's like $88.99, I think, a booster box, and that's like the lowest price anywhere.
That's great. Yeah, so big shout out to new Pokemon stuff, New Frontiers. I'm excited. It's good stuff. I feel like it's a pretty big move for CFB, and that's an exciting thing.
It's fun. So, all right, we've got these bands, Gabby.
Oh man, you know, Lashy, this is like we're gonna have to find a way to like insert a little bit more positivity, because there's just everything this week was just like this was bad, and this also was bad, and this also was bad. Also, before we get into it, I just realized something. We should challenge Smar. We should do the same thing that Lords and the Resources podcast did, and we should challenge Smar, and then we can be like the Little League show.
Oh my gosh, we totally. I am ready. Riley, Dennis, we got to find who's our third.
We need a third, and they need a third. But we need to make sure we get like an equivalent third-ish so that we can be, because we want to be the Little League version of
it. I mean, it's like. No joke. The third co-host is Luis.
I know.
But I feel like that he's too much.
He's too much of a ringer. We can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So we gotta find someone else. But we will find our third.
Yeah,
so Dennis, Riley,
we should present them an official challenge. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out.
Yes, the challenge is on you, Scry babies. You're the ones who are gonna be crying at the end of this. I want to cut some wrestling promos. Well, you know, Riley, when I get in the ring with you, 1, 2, 3, it's going to be awesome. So, yeah. We totally
I think
should.
It would be so fun. It's just cool. I think actually Tomodachi Express was saying, like, when's the showdown between Magic FM and Smar? And I think it would be fun.
I'm 100% ready.
All right. We'll talk about the details about this later, but we'll bring some updates when we are ready.
One other big administrative thing, Gabby, I don't want to dive into it now, but we really do got to figure out what we're going to do for our 1-year
anniversary. Yes, we do have to figure. Yeah, like now.
Like when I saw the episode number, I was like, we never talked about this.
Yeah, welcome to episode 49. We're almost there.
So, all right. Okay.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry. Yes. We got this. We Gucci. All right. So there were some bans this week. We had a big episode last week talking about what we thought was going to get banned. We suggested a lot of options that included if Omnath can't be banned, if Omnath can be banned, and what we thought was good for format health after talking between the two of us, some of our other friends who are better at us at Magic than us, who have good opinions about this. And there was only one ban. Uro got banned, and that was it. Mashi, how do you feel about this?
First of all, I lost a dinner bet on this, because
I heard about so many bets that were lost over this.
I mean, I think most people felt it was just going to be Uro, right? That was a very, very common sentiment. And I mean, I don't want to pile on to where what Wizards did, but it blew my mind. I guess my reasoning was there was no way after everything we went through with Oko that they wouldn't ban Omnath. It had to happen. It was going to happen, and they weren't going to make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, that too is kind of what bothered me, I guess. If you played Magic through the Eldraine period and you saw how things went with Oko, you know how bad it's like almost like morale of the whole community it is to have a card like Oko printed and be the predominant card in Standard. And it just felt like, if you don't make a bunch of bans here, the same thing's going to happen. And Uro got banned and it wasn't good enough. And like, you're even seeing people now saying like, oh, now it's even worse because 4-color Omnath is the most popular deck and no Simic or Sultai versions out there being good because they don't have Omnath anymore.
Uro,
excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's this classic case, we're human and we make the same mistakes over and over. That's part of like kind of like the cycle of life, right? And you know, when you're in therapy or when you have good friends, they try to help you correct that. And so you make the same mistake once, twice, whatever, that's bad. Like, that's not, I don't want to make any excuses there. But then when you react the exact same way when you're making the exact same mistake, you have double, triple, quadrupled down on it. And that's what really gets me. It's like, okay, you made a mistake. You printed a card like Omnath, too powerful, you know, so, and it's the a Chase Mythic in the new set. Okay, Shades of Oko. But we know how you handled Oko. We know what happened with Oko. And I don't think anyone thinks that was right. I mean, I don't, there's no one who says like, actually, you know what? They did everything right with Oko, the way they like kind of dripped out the bannings over like a 3 or 4 week period. And yet here we are. And it's just like, are we really going to,
it really does just feel like, oh my God, this is history repeating itself. It's almost like we didn't learn anything from last time. It feels super demoralizing. We knew when we talked about this last week, we knew that there was a chance that, you know, like we had like a, hey, if we were just trying to prioritize health of the format, these are the bans that we suggest. And if we think that banning a mythic from the new set is not on the table, which we thought was the case, because it's the same thing that happened with Oko. We're like, okay, well, if you can't ban Omnath, these are other cards you could ban to maybe make it a little bit better. So we, I get that this ban clearly prioritized something that isn't just format health. This is prioritizing maybe sales of the new set, most likely. But to some degree, it's also fine. Like, I think in some ways people are not fair because they're like, oh, why wouldn't they just like try to make the best format? And in this case, they're like prioritizing probably shareholders over, you know, format health. But and it's fine for them to do that every once in a while. But it just feels like this is the case every single time. And we just saw it. And then we saw it previously. When's the last good standard format we played? My God. So,
what is the answer to that, in your opinion, Gabby?
Honestly, like, I was trying to figure this out the other day. I was asking Luis, because he knows my Magic playing habits really well. And I was like, Luis, what's the last standard I, like, actually liked? Because I couldn't come up with the answer. And he's like, let me think about it.
I have a guess.
Okay, I want to hear. Oh, you're gonna say the Mono Blue Devotion standard.
Mono Blue Devotion. Yes, exactly. That is absolutely it.
It was actually Kaladesh standard. After some of those bans happened.
Okay.
That was the last format that I like really truly loved, and I played a ton of standard for that format. And honestly, since then, I've played very very little to no standard. I've watched a ton of it. I'm always usually like pretty up to date with formats just because all my friends test for these tournaments. So I like know what's going on in the metas and I know the decks and stuff like that, but I just don't really go out of my way to like craft cards. You can even see it in my Magic Arena collection where I always was short wild cards to build decks. And now I just have like infinite wild cards. I never use them because I never craft anything. I'm never making...
Must be nice. Now I've got all these wild cards on my account.
I play a lot of Arena, dude. You get them just by playing.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But yeah, it's been so long since I feel like we've had and I know there's been a lot of formats since Kaladesh that people did enjoy. I just personally, like, that's the answer for me. But it's just so disappointing that we're back here again. And it's just like, well, I guess the entire last year of things that we, quote, learned, unquote, didn't really matter.
Yeah, I think that's you really hit the nail on the head there. It's just, it feels like we've made the same mistake and we haven't learned anything from the last time. And it's disheartening. And one of the things that Wizards is actually pretty good about, they do, I know a lot of people are probably going to take issue with this, but as a community, we make a lot of noise and they do listen. And for a company their size and they're, you know, they're owned by Hasbro, the fact that they do kind of take notice of what the community is saying and doing is important. And part of, I think, why we actually feel hurt or hurt. I'm going to use that word, hurt, with the actions here are people made a lot of noise and that now we feel like we weren't heard. And we kind of expect that from Wizards, that they are listening, that they're engaged in a certain way. I also do want to say, like, I think R&D is really, I still continue to think they're really, really smart and good and know what they're doing. And Exhibit A, by the way, is limited. Limited recently, like, you can say what you want about standard. Limited,
we've had some absolutely sick limited formats. Yes, they've been great.
And so I think a lot of the dialogue about what is happening with these bannings is they don't get it. They think Uro is going to fix it. And I don't have no inside information, but I tend to really think it's more what you're saying, Gabby, which is there's a different financial motive, there's shareholders or whatever it is in there. And so I do think I want to give credit where credit's due. I do kind of feel that someone at R&D or whoever's at R&D who might make these decisions is saying, actually, guys, we need to ban Omnath, and they're probably getting overruled. Like, I just feel like that's happening. So saying they don't get it, or whoever's making these decisions doesn't get it. No, I think they do get it. I think that there's just another priority.
Yeah.
And that's trumping here.
I absolutely agree with that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, we have no inside information here. I wouldn't be surprised if they just got a directive from the top and it said, okay, standard's bad. You need to fix it. You can't ban Omnath. Go.
Yeah.
And that was just a directive. And it's like, okay, well, And we did suggest some stuff, like if that was really the way it was presented to them, they could have banned something like Escape to the Wilds or like Genesis Ultimatum or like Lucky Clover, because there's just like the Adventures deck is the other big deck in the format right now. But there were definitely other bans that could have happened. It is just disappointing to feel like it also would be different if Wizards hadn't reacted the way they had initially, because they have seemed to... They wrote that whole retrospective about like, hey, we punted with Throne of Eldraine. Like they did do that, right? And that article was promising in some ways because they were acknowledging that that happened. And here are the ways we want this to not happen again. And so that gives me hope, right? You see that and you say, okay, they acknowledge that this was a mistake. They even at some points in this article talk about how they were kind of... And with esports too, because it wasn't just thrown, how they were just doing a lot of this on the fly, and that's why it seemed like it was rushed and last minute. It's because it was rushed and last minute. But then they talk about, hey, this is how we're going to make it better in the future. It feels like the fact that that was said and then things are just not better now that we're like a year out, that's the thing that really gets me. Like, that's the thing that I find really frustrating, because it's like, it doesn't matter if you said all those things if you're not actually going to live up to those words.
You got to follow through. You got to follow through. And again, this kind of stuff frustrates me. And then I realize, and obviously, like, I work at Channel Fireball. You're Team CFB, and you know, you stream Magic. We're so ingrained in this community. This community means a lot to us. This is just a business decision. So it's funny because you're a highly educated business person who's had a lot of success in business. I work more on the corporate side. And so we make business decisions, right? You're no stranger to that. I'm no stranger to that. And yet, even if this was a business decision to say, hey, we think it's better for sales and healthier for business if we keep Omnath, it still hurts me. Like, I part of my brain understands that, and the rest of me rebels against it so much.
Absolutely.
Like, no, you know? And so that gets me. I'm a victim of too many podcasts here. I can't remember if I suggested this here on Magic FM or on the Monday Meta, but one of the ideas I was toying with was, what if at every rotation they reset all the bannings? Everything that is... So,
you have mentioned that here before. Yeah. Last time we talked about it, we said, or my opinion was that I think some of the cards that get banned just get bad reputations too. So in some ways it's like, it's a reprieve when finally something gets banned. It's like, oh, thank God, finally this card that I hated is gone. Putting it back into the rotation, I think, can just create much more chaos than is necessary. I know I know you want to try it as like an experiment to see how it goes, but I think that would be too chaotic. I think people would not like that.
Do you think I could pitch it for a CFB Pro Showdown? No ban standard.
Oh my God. I mean, you know, we did a thing for, what was it? It was the Community Super League a long time ago. And every week there was a different challenge for what we were supposed to do. So we're supposed to deck build for stuff. And one of the challenges was no ban list modern. It was really fun. But I will say, no ban list modern is different than no ban list standard. Although actually, these days, there's like a lot of cards that are banned in standard.
Yeah, Gabby, we're talking about like Wilderness Wreck, Cat, Oko, Fires. They'd all be back in. Oh my God.
I was thinking like it just doesn't really work very well for standard because you don't have that much stuff, but there's so much.
Totally works.
Oh my God. I mean,
you know what, Gabby?
I actually think that kind of stuff is interesting because it is a different metagame. Like, can we go? All these cards were really powerful when they were around. Like, who's going to win between Uro and Fires of Invention? They were both really busted decks, you know?
Okay. I want to pitch this. And we got everyone behind this. We got to go one of two ways, I think, for the next CFP Pro Showdown. One is no ban list standard, right? Because it's a fun tournament. It's competitive, but it's a fun tournament.
It is a fun
right?
tournament, yeah.
And I think you can do this kind of stuff. Or two, what if we did a CFP Pro Showdown where we banned, we added Omnath and Lucky Clover to the ban list for just for that event.
So I, the one thing that could be awkward is like, these are the bans that we thought should have happened.
And obviously, Gabby, we know best. Hello.
I think there's something cool here, though. I like the idea of no ban list standard. I think that would be fun. It honestly sounds like the events that Wizards does on Arena, like that they do for FNM. They sometimes do stuff like that. They have a format called like, I don't think it might not even have a name, but they just choose cards that they decide to ban.
Oh, yeah.
They're cards are not legal for this format. And instead we could just do these cards are all legal in this format.
That would be, I'm all in favor of this. I will say Wizards got me. This is how confident I was, Gabby. I was so confident Omnath was going to get banned.
Oh yeah.
I went and cashed in some wild cards. I'm like, whatever. Free Mythics, baby. Let's go. That did not work out.
It's okay. You're going to get to play Omnath because all you can play in Standard these days is Omnath.
Not going to happen.
Real good investment.
So, I mean, I do think from all the information I'm seeing right now here back on Earth, it's a matter of when, not if. I believe
it's going to get banned too. I would take the over on Omnath getting banned in its stay in Standard.
Gabby, are we going to be talking? So we have our 1 year anniversary coming up for the podcast. And we started this podcast talking about bands. We're huge.
We had that joke about like, lol, this is just the bandwagon.
Yeah. So
honestly, the bandwagon was, I'm like in the private message chat for the bandwagon because I film it for them. And they're like, lol, we thought we were pigeonholing ourselves by calling ourselves the bandwagon.
Yeah, I think Luis like clipped that and sent it to a message with John and I was like, yeah, we really regret the name. And then it turns out.
And as it turns out, it was just perfect.
But I mean, it is going to be funny. And we've talked a lot. I mean, that kind of I'm laughing and crying. But we are in many ways back where we started a year ago.
Yeah, it is weird that right around this time, like it was right around this time when we were talking about Oko and the Oko bands. And now I feel like we've come full circle and we're like, just replayed Oko with Omnath. It's another.
We're back
where we started.
I will say, I want to be fair to Wizards. Oko on his face is just so nakedly powerful. Like the card is unbelievable. Omnath is four different colors. You have to get triple landfall to maximize value. Like these are seemingly difficult things to achieve, right? In a vacuum, you'd say, how are you even going to do that? It just turns out this format, that's not as hard as you would think it is.
Yeah, it is. That is true. And it also, it's like, look at all these like band of cronies that are just trying to get Omnath to do the thing. Like Fabled Passage really enables it. Evolving Wilds, Lotus Cobra.
Cobra, yeah.
All these cards just really help enable this even Escape to the Wilds, which doesn't seem like it should be a card that's like really breaking a deck even more. Being able to make multiple land drops when you have Omnath is just really broken. So it is just like Omnath and like the goons are kind of the problem, whereas Oko was just Oko. It's like Oko, the card Oko negates every strategy possible.
It was just an issue, yeah. So, okay, final thought here, Gabby. I have one for you.
Here,
do you have a line?
How long
Omnath will be in Standard?
I would take the under on half its stay in Standard for sure.
Oh, I was gonna take an. I think I'm gonna take the under on a month.
Whoa! So the grand finals isn't for 2 weeks. There's no way it gets banned within 2 weeks. It might get banned if the grand finals is just all Omnath. Like all the way down, then maybe I could see them announcing maybe a change then. But that's like, we're like a month and a half from that happening, right? Or is my timeline wrong?
Wait, I'm not sure what weekend the grand final. The grand finals isn't two weeks. Yeah,
I think it's soon.
They maybe right after the grand finals, if it isn't banned before then, Omnath will get banned.
I don't think it's going to get banned before the grand finals, but I think there's a pretty good chance it gets banned after.
So that's a month. That's under a month.
Yeah, I guess that is a month, huh? Well, yeah, maybe it's like, okay, we can set the line at the year mark because that will be November. Then we'll have December. Like, would you take the under on 2020?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking the under on November 1st.
Okay, so I would take the under of 2020, but I don't think I would do before the grand finals. I don't think that ban's gonna happen
because the Is the grand final? What's the week? What weekend is the grand finals? Isn't it?
It's like 2 weekends from now. I'm pretty sure.
24th or something. Or
is I think. Yeah, I think it is the 24th. I'm not sure though.
So I'm gonna take the. I'm gonna be super tight with that. I'm gonna say November 1st. There's a banning. You're saying over November 1st. By November 1st, there will be.
I'll take the over on November 1st, and you can take the under on November. Okay. November 1st. All right. We'll check in on this and see where we end up.
Lock it in. Did you have another final thought? Sorry.
Yeah, just the final thought is, you know, not trying to be super negative. Like, I think one of the things we try to do in this podcast is present arguments fairly and stuff, and present both sides of an argument so you can understand. You know, like, it's really easy to just dogpile on a decision that someone made without understanding why that decision was made. So I do get that there are a lot of business decisions that are invisible to us here, like directives that Wizards got that we don't know what they are, about what cards were okay to ban or what wasn't okay to ban. Like, we just don't know. We don't work in the building. But I think it's important to remember that the reason that a lot of people care and feel so strongly about this is because so many people love Magic. That's the same reason I had the same reaction, where even though Limited's been really good, I was just so dejected by these bans because I was just like, man, this thing I love so much, I feel like it's just, how are we back here again? So I would just have people keep that in mind, that this is like, I think it's an okay feeling to have, whether it's you or Mashi or I, it's completely fine to care deeply about something like this. But at a certain point, it also is, you have to like separate yourself from it, because otherwise it's like too negative and then it starts consuming you, which actually leads into another topic we have today.
Our next topic.
Exactly. Perfect. We've been killing the segues.
Just killing them.
So there was another really, really big thing that happened this week. If you have not seen them, there was a secret lair, and secret lairs have been happening for a while now. We've talked about secret lairs in the past, especially about the fact that secret lairs get sold specifically by Wizards and they don't really go anywhere else. And we've talked about how that's a little bit awkward for retailers, local shops and stuff like that, because usually the relationship that has always existed is Wizards prints the cards, makes the sets, makes those boosters and, you know, pre-release packs, sells them to shops, and then shops, you know, run the pre-releases, or like you buy your booster boxes or your singles from CFB or whatever. And this is the first time that Wizards is actually like printing cards, like directly sold to consumer. And it's a pretty exclusive product. So that is Secret Lair. For those who don't know, historically, Secret Lairs have been reprints of really famous cards. So they've been like a Secret Lair with dogs, and it's just cards, dogs that are famous, like Isamaru. I don't actually think Isamaru is in the dog one, but like, that's the idea, right? Or like Lightning Bolt.
Wait, is Mowu in there? Who are the dogs in there?
Some of them are like Rest in Peace, and it's like a dog playing with something. Like, they're cards that have been made to have a dog
they're
on them.
They're just dog
Not necessarily
themes.
Dog
it.
Cards. Yeah. But like, another one would be like the Lightning Bolt Secret Lair, which was just all like artists got commissioned to do their take on Lightning Bolt, the magic card. And it was super cool, right? So there's all these really cool secret lairs. However, something happened this week and people got mad. They got really mad. There was a secret lair printed for The Walking Dead featuring some of the biggest names from The Walking Dead. And they are... These cards are basically, you can play them in Legacy, you can play them in Commander, and these cards are functionally unique cards. So
that's the biggest difference.
And that's the biggest difference. It's never happened before.
Yeah. Never has Wizards ever marketed a B2C product of singles, right? Of new singles that you cannot get anywhere else. You know, stores, retailers, like I put the Channel Fireball hat on, we're totally cut out. Right. Our only way to get these cards is either to buy retail secret lairs or put them on the buy list.
Yeah. Or I was going to say, or someone sells them to you, then you resell them. But yes, Wizards basically cut out anyone involved in the process by printing these. And these aren't cards that you can't, like, it's not like you can go look at the list of magic cards and try to find, like, oh, I'll find something that's similar. No, this is a unique card. It's unique in what it does. And there's not another version of it. And people were furious. Like, I cannot even express how mad people were about this. If you went on Reddit, on the Magic subreddit, there were like, I don't know, 8 or 9 threads, like individual threads of people just being really upset at the fact that this happened. And like, let's present, you know, whether or not the reaction is warranted, let's talk about why people are mad, because that is important. And then we can talk about, like, hey, how do we feel about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is that Secret Lairs are exclusive. Secret Lairs are a premium product. They are hard to get, and they're not available in all countries, and the print runs are limited. So even if you wanted to get a Secret Lair for a specific thing, you might not be able to. And that's different than saying, I'm going to go on channelfireball.com and, oh, it's out of stock. Okay, well, I'll wait and see if they restock it, or right there, it's available. I'm just going to buy it right now. These are products that if you might just not be able to ever get your hands on, especially if you live outside of the US, which is really crappy for people who live outside of the US, right? The whole idea is that, hey, these cards, if you want to get them in your deck, you can. But Secret Lair makes it so that that's not that easy. The other thing about this is that there's been times where Wizards has printed new cards in these like side products, like in Commander products, for example. But because these have such limited print runs and they're not available in all countries, it's not the same as buying a Commander product, for example.
Or even like Modern Horizons. Modern Horizons cards for Modern. Mm-hmm. And you know that... Because so there are other ways to print these things where you can get new cards out there, and you know that aren't the regular standard sets. Okay, and those have limited print runs, right? Like Modern Masters, Modern Horizons. Those are not, you know, the same print runs as standard sets. But I don't think anyone has a problem with that. I think that's okay. That's fine.
Like Baleful Strix, for example, was a product as a card that was made for Commander, and it is heavily played in Legacy. And that's the only way you could get it. It was sold in that Commander product, and I think there were two in the deck. So if you wanted multiples, you would buy two of the same deck.
You had to buy two of them.
And, or like Shardless Agent, I believe, was also a Commander. But those sets were a lot easier to get, or like those products were a lot easier to get. And because they were sold to a bunch of people, then you could buy it on something like CFB. But these are, once again, just direct from Wizards to person, and they're pretty pricey. Because they are come in nice packaging, and this is like really big packaging, and they commission artists to make cool art for it. Yeah,
I'm sure they have to pay The Walking Dead, because I mean the characters from The Walking Dead. I don't watch the show.
It's the actual actors. So it's It's not like they got the cartoon and drew them like that. It's the actual actors. So they probably had to pay them. The show. For sure. And so once you start looking at all of this, you're like, well, yeah, that does seem like a concern, right? It's really weird that they're just printing these specific cards in a very limited capacity and not everybody can get their hands on them. So then Mauro has a thing where he posts that, hey, you know, if like any of these cards that we're printing become super popular, we can find ways to make a functional reprint and put them in normal Magic products. But people did not find that to be a satisfying answer. Because it's not. Because frankly, it's not.
I don't think it is. And I mean, I am that answer though. I saw that answer and it made me think a little bit about what maybe had to go into this deal. And I wonder if to put, you know, Negan is the only character I know from The Walking Dead. And you know, to put that character into an actual widely printed Magic set. I wonder if that would all of a sudden mean that Wizards would have to be licensing a Walking Dead game, you know, they have to get a TCG license, so much more than just a special release promo thing. And I bet you there's a lot of that at play, where, you know, they would have had to do a lot more to get these characters into a regular set. But that being said, we already saw Wizards do something very similar to this with the Godzilla cards in Ikoria, right?
But Godzilla is a Hasbro IP.
But I mean, what I'm saying is like what they could have done is printed cards in,
I see Zendikar Rising,
and then have the alternate art ones be in the Secret Lair. And and by the way, I think if they do that, zero problem.
No one would have been mad.
No one says a thing about it. It's the fact that these are not functional reprints with different skins, which is what they did in Godzilla with Godzilla and Ikoria, which I thought was great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. And like, I haven't read all the cards actually. I just saw one of them. Because it has an Asian character on it. So I was like, oh, what does this guy do? And it's like one white, one blue, one other, I believe for a 1/3.
Yeah, it's Glenn.
Cannot be blocked by a creature with power greater than this creature.
Mm-hmm, Skull.
And then is that an actual keyword ability from before?
It's keyworded, yeah. It's called Skulk. Can't be blocked by a creature's power greater than it.
Is that from a different set? What's that
set from? It's from a core set, I want to say.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I think it might have been like one of the corsets towards like where Magic Origins was. I remember learning that mechanic in a corset. It might have been in a bigger set. I can't remember exactly, but it's definitely keyworded.
Yeah, okay. And then every time he deals damage, you draw cards equal to his power, which is like, I don't know. In old school Magic, that would have been really good. I have no idea if that even sees play in Standard right now, but it, you know, it's a good enough card to back in the day see play. So it's the whole thing feels weird. You know, I don't know what the impetus was here.
I like your suggestion a lot. Like if it had happened in the same way that the Godzilla cards happened in Ikoria, no one would have been mad because you could have gotten like Negan is one of the characters that you could have gotten the card in the Magic set that did the thing that Negan does, right? Mm-hmm. Slash, you could get the one with Negan's art on the secret layer and people would be like, oh, that's the actual one it's supposed to be. Like, that's pretty cool. In the same way that you could end up with a Void Winnower or like Space Godzilla, Death Corona. It actually had a different name at the end because I don't remember what they changed it.
They couldn't because of the Corona thing.
Whatever the name was, where... Like, if you want to go through the trouble of getting the cool alt art version that's The Walking Dead, sure, have at it. Buy the secret layer, no problem. But it's the fact that nobody else can get it. Like, you either get the secret layer or bust. And I think that's part of what feels really kind of shady, skeezy. I don't know. It feels really, something feels off about it.
I was exactly saying, it feels off. And the functional reprint doesn't work in the sense that, like, we live in an era, which I thought Wizards understood, which I thought maybe Marrow understood. We live in an era where people play Commander. Functional reprints aren't just functional reprints. They are another card in the deck.
Yeah.
Right? So now all of a sudden, you have Glenn and the functional reprint, and I never got a chance to get Glenn. Now you've got two and I've got
one. Yeah, you've got two Glenns and I don't have a Glenn at all. And because I couldn't buy one because of functional reprint, whatever, wasn't available and I couldn't get the secret lair. And then you're just, that just feels bad. So one of the things that this has caused is people have been calling for bans of these cards in Commander. And so people have been appealing to the Commander Rules Committee, asking for them to ban the cards in Commander as a form of protest against the secret lair. Obviously, we have no idea what if anything's going to happen there. But it is interesting to see like the Commander community also kind of rallying behind disliking the way these secret lairs are happening because they understand that like, hey, it feels bad if somebody can't get the cards that they want. And right now, a lot of people who want these cards are not going to be able to get them.
Yeah. And I think one of the beauties of Commander and the Rules Committee and the CAG and all that is there is a lot of feeling. The first half of this episode, we're talking about bans and the decisions that go into making bans. And, you know, frankly, how powerless we feel if we think the decision is wrong. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about Commander is that community has a lot of voice in it. And I'm not going to, whether these should get banned or not get banned, I think that whatever that community wants to do should be put in action. I don't play Commander, so I don't have a dog in that hunt. But I do like the idea that there is a way for this community to say, hey, this is our community. And sure, maybe I got the secret layer, but I don't think it's right. I don't think we should do that. Hey, Marrow, throw those functional reprints in and we'll allow those. Boom. Problem solved. Yeah. You know? And then maybe you could do a thing where it's like you can either have Glenn or the functional reprint, not both. Because Commander can make rules like that. They can do things like that, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that it should be banned in Commander. Again, I don't play it, but I like the idea of the community that plays that format, and that community is so heavily involved.
Yes.
Mobilizing and making their voice heard. And I hope that whatever the RC and the CAG decide, they heavily weigh what their community is telling them.
I think, I do think there's a line between like protesting and in some ways how people are reacting, which in some ways, even though I understand why they're upset, the way that people like will start attacking people online, like people will start attacking the Wizards accounts, attacking the people in the Commander Rules Committee because they're like, oh, you're not coming out. You're not going to ban them immediately. Like, oh, I can't believe it. And then they start doing personal attacks and stuff. So that obviously goes too far. I do really like the fact that I do think like the rule stuff in Commander has more of a voice. Like people complain about everything in Standard, but there's not like a Standard rules committee. That's just kind of like whatever Wizards decides they want to ban is what gets banned. But you know, in Commander it's a little different. So maybe it makes sense to ban these cards in Commander. Maybe it does. I am not 100% sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that ultimately getting them banned in Commander is more a statement about the secret layers than these cards being OP or anything.
It's not
like
the cards being OP. Yeah, I will say to no, credit where credit is due, the designs of the cards were actually pretty cool. I know.
Do you watch the show? Do the designs all make sense?
I am on the Walking Dead bandwagon of fans who dropped off like a couple of seasons in, because no spoilers on the show. It's called The Walking Dead. There's a bunch of characters that die all the time. That's not surprising. Eventually, people kind of, I think, got burnt out of that just being the thing that happened absolutely every season, myself included. So I knew all the characters from the cards because they're characters that I watched for a few seasons at the very least. And I thought the designs were really well made for what each of the characters do in the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that part was cool. Like the actual cards themselves were cool designs, even though there's all these reasons why people don't like them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's kind of, I remember years ago, my buddy Graham and I would make like Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. And I think we have all these like Star Wars magic cards where we kind of game design like what we think these characters, how they would interact with the rules of magic and what's right for them. So that part's really, really cool and sweet. It is weird because I do feel like The Walking Dead is kind of trending downwards in terms of popularity and the strength of the IP.
Absolutely. So one of the things that people were complaining, not complaining necessarily, but just like mentioned, I saw it mentioned in a lot of places, was that it felt weird to kind of like cash in on this like dying show-ish. Mm-hmm. Some people were saying like, yeah, it feels kind of weird because we're like, oh yeah, let's just try to get everything we can out of these characters and make magic cards of them too.
Yeah, that does not feel good.
Yeah, so that part is, it doesn't really affect things too much in either direction, but it was just funny to be like, yeah, I mean, they're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that you touched on this, and we talked about this with the bands, like, there is a lot of kind of wrath and anger and spite and rage going into this that I'm not happy about it. But when I started looking into it, I was like, whoa, okay, people are just losing their minds here. And again, I think everyone has again, I'm not happy about this. And I think people have a right to be upset, but it started going real, real far, I thought. And so that part is concerning.
So I guess this is something that I did want us to talk about through this podcast. And it's just like the community reaction of what we've been seeing about a lot of stuff, because it feels like Magic Twitter and Magic communities, not just Twitter, have turned pretty toxic about different things. And I've seen some chatter about like why people think that's happening. One of the active theories that I have is this year has just been rough. Like it's been rough on many people for a variety of reasons. And in some ways, Magic is this escape, right? Magic is this hobby where all the things that are going on in the world, you can just kind of ignore that. You can just play with these Magic cards, right? They're in some ways similar to D&D. You're playing with these like fantasy cards. You're playing casting griffins and casting spells and like creatures attacking into each other. And it's this really fun hobby that I think everybody's so in love and dedicated with, right? It's like, Magic is definitely a lifestyle hobby where it will affect the way you live your life consistently. If you're traveling for tournaments, or if you're adjusting your schedule so you can play in tournaments on the weekends, or like the communities that develop around Magic. So it is hard for me to see how people have reacted to this, because I think the reaction is like, I think people are right to be upset about the things that we mentioned. Like, I think there's a lot of concerns about how Wizards has chosen to approach the Walking Dead secret lair. But in some ways, it also feels like this reaction is overblown. So people are so negative and so aggressive. And you're seeing people from like different parts of the Magic community, specifically within the Commander sphere, deactivating their Twitter accounts because they're just getting harassed about this stuff. And that's also not okay. Like, yeah, you can be as mad as you want about how Secret Lair is being handled. Clearly, Mosh and I don't like it. But also, like, lashing out at other people, especially people who don't make those decisions, like, when like, the decisions were probably made by Wizards as a whole, right? It's not, like, a specific person. Mm-hmm. That's also not okay. And so I do think it's important to kind of try to create a little bit of separation between how much you love a hobby and how much it means to you, which is what we were talking about before and the reason that we were dejected about the bans, but also, like, there are other games. There's other things you can do. There, if Standard sucks right now, no one's forcing you to play Standard, right? There's just...
Totally.
You know, I like...
mean, play Limited, play Pokemon, play Among Us.
Right. Try a different format. Play Modern. Playing multiplayer. Play Commander. Yeah. And if you don't want to play Magic, which I get, some people are just in for Magic, and that's absolutely fine. You don't have, like, this doesn't have to turn into a thing where it's a personal vendetta that you need to pursue. And it makes me sad to see people at each other's throats. It almost feels like you're watching, like, a burning building and you're like, I don't feel like I can even say anything that helps here. Like, I can't believe that this is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's tons of frustrations with COVID. I mean, if you're in the U.S., regardless of your political leanings, it's a time of turmoil. Mm-hmm. And there's all these aspects of our lives that we don't have control over, frankly. It is a crazy time in this country right now. And, you know, I've only been alive for 41 years, so I don't know how things have been in other crazy times, but it feels so much like it's never been crazier here.
Agreed.
And that things are out of control. And sometimes you find a locus and you say, you know, and you read all of that frustration and anger and fear into an issue where it doesn't belong. And then you find a target to vent all that on. You know, I talked about the community having a voice, and I think that's important. But, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's Magic or whatever you're doing. You know, you have to use that voice with empathy and understand there's someone else, you know, even if it is the Hasbro helpline or Hasbro Twitter or Wizards or just someone from the CAG, you know, that's another person on the other end. You are talking to someone else, and you may be angry and upset about the decisions that they probably didn't even make, but still have to field. There's just no reason to approach, like, really anything in life, but particularly criticism without empathy. Like, you think about how people treat you, and, you know, there's that golden rule of treat others how you want to be treated. And when you start attacking people and you start using them as that vent of frustration, that's not okay. You know, and hey, if you're not a great people person, think about your pets. Like, you know, how do you want to treat your dogs, and how do you want your dogs to be treated? And, you know, I'm not saying treat people like dogs, but there are a lot of people that, in my experience, who show more empathy towards animals than other people, which is crazy.
I agree. I agree with that.
But it's totally true. And just, you know, it's something I find myself getting frustrated at times with different helplines. And one of the things I always try to say, if I feel like I'm just getting too obsessed, like, hey, I'm really sorry. I know this is not your call. And I, you know, I always tell them, like, just call me out. Like, if I'm being a jerk, you just say it to me. And let's just agree that, you know, I'm frustrated and I know it's not your call. I know it's not your fault, you know? And if you're just reasonable with people, by the way, I think you get a lot more help and you can move the chains a lot faster. But come on, everyone. Let's be empathetic. Let's treat everyone as people, because guess what? They are
people. They are people, yeah. Even if there's business decisions happening on the other side.
Yeah,
something totally. You said, which is funny to me, is, like, you know, you've been alive for 41 years. You don't even know if there's ever been, like, a more chaotic time than it is right now. The other weekend, we watched Hamilton the musical on Disney Plus, and Luis was the one that mentioned, he's like, wow, it would have been so cool. Like, I like the decade we live in, but it would have been so cool to be alive back then, because it feels like history was really being made back then. And Raptor and I stopped for a second. We looked at each other. We're like, no, people are going to learn about the couple of years that we're currently living in history books. Absolutely. Oh. They're going to be reading about it in history books. So even though it's like, yeah, look at back then, the founding of our nation, and look at all this cool stuff that they were doing because it was, like, so new. We're like, nah, we are living in times that people and our kids and the generations after us are going to read about this year and be like, wow, that sounded like it was really bad time. We're going to be like, yeah, it was not good. It was not good.
It was an interesting time is, like, probably, like, the most polite thing we can say about any of it. It's interesting. There's a lot. I've spent a lot of time recently thinking about it with social media and everything. And there's a way this era is defined by social media. And there's and that's not just politics, like this era of magic, right? Like, so what have you mentioned? Reddit, and we talk about Twitter all the time. Like the way we interact with this game in many ways, and at least the producers of the game and the company that makes the game and the influencers in the game, Twitch, Reddit, Twitter. So all of that changes how we see things, but it does dehumanize.
Right.
I'm not angry having a horrible, angry, completely low blow conversation with Gabby Sparks, this wonderful, smart person on the other side, right? It's just at Gabby Sparks, some random avatar that I can at mercilessly and say whatever I want to, because it's just a random Twitter handle or a random name on Reddit. And that we see that just like kind of blowing up in front of everyone.
I mean, I have a really good example of this. When Luis was working on his set reviews for the current set, and man, you know, Luis, credit to him. I don't know how he does it, but he does set reviews, and he does his constructed set reviews, and he does LR, and he does CR, and he does so much stuff when the set comes out. And like, I see him burning the candle at both ends, right? Trying to get all this stuff done. And he gets tagged by someone on Twitter who says something like, wow, I can't believe that your review for this color isn't out yet. You're a disappointment. You've let down the entire Magic community. Like, it was a really aggressive message. And Luis is not, like, Luis has a lot of experience with the internet, dealing with people, with criticism, with all these things. But that one got to him, because he's already like frustrated and tired about all this work that he's doing and constantly feeling like he's behind, even though he's hustling to get it done. And then this person comes in with this one, right? This banger to kind of like seal the coffin. And so Luis actually like responds to them. And I forget exactly what he said, but he just called him out. He was like, yo, like, how could you say this? Like, you're basically called him out because it was just so unwarranted. And then this person eventually messaged Luis and apologized. They did apologize. And part of the thing is like, yes, I think to this person, they were talking to Luis like they were not even there, even though they tagged them, because he's just an avatar that you can add. And so you just add him, and you're like, you would never, can you imagine somebody coming up to you on the street and be like, wow, Mashi, I can't believe you didn't film the Monday meta this week. You are a disappointment too, that you let the community down. No one would ever say that to your face.
Yep.
They would never say it to your face. Can you imagine the guts you need to do that? But it's fine to do it online.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're protected. And I mean, can I just tell you, like, it was like 4-alarm fire. Like, I woke up, I saw this exchange with Luis, and I panicked, because Luis never claps back. Mm-hmm. Never. And I remember I immediately slacked. I'm like, dude, what's going on? Are you okay? What happened? And then he explained everything to me, and I was like, wow. You know? And so look, we're all at our breaking points. Luis never claps back. I mean, and he was well within his rights to do it here.
Absolutely.
And exactly. Like, he normally like lets it pass. But and again, you know, and Luis gets it. Luis understands that he's frustrated. He understands this other guy's frustrated too. Like, even though this person was way out of line, you know, Luis is able to recognize, because again, he's empathetic. This guy's probably frustrated about a lot of things in life. And what was he looking for? This one thing that he didn't get. And now Luis has let the whole community down, you know, and it starts to build up on each other.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it is a Jenga tower, right? Like,
totally. I love that. It's great.
That's exactly what it's like. This person is probably frustrated with a bunch of things that are not going well in their lives, because frankly, a lot of people have things that are not going well in their lives right now. And they wanted to read the set review for whatever.
Didn't happen.
And then it didn't happen. They were frustrated. So they lashed out at Luis, and now Luis claps back because he's frustrated about stuff that's going on in his life, because it's a tough year. So I don't know. It does feel like, I think you can care so much about Magic. I completely 100% understand. I feel the same way, to the point where I didn't even want to stream Magic this week. And I've played a lot of Among Us. And obviously today I'm just back to playing Magic. Everything's fine. But you can't also let that take over your life in that way. Like, still treat people with compassion. There are people, even if you don't like the decisions that Wizards is making, there are people over there who have lives, and they may not even agree with the decisions being made, but they have to go with it because it's their job. And I think everybody would just be a little better off if we tried to empathize more with one another as opposed to just
totally. I am
like the vitriol that's going around, I think, on social media is just too much. If it looked like this for Secret Lair, it just makes me feel like, what's the next thing that, like, I get that the Secret Lair thing was bad. The Secret Lair thing was bad. I'm not denying that. But
it wasn't that bad.
But it wasn't that bad. So I'm like, what's going to happen when the next thing that's actually really, really bad, what's that going to look like?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I do want to say, like, you know, it's a great example. What you did is a great example, which is you're a streamer, you stream Magic all the time, and you made a healthy, like, mindset decision of, you know what? I can't do this. I don't feel like doing this right now. And that's okay. I'm going to go play something else and I'm going to have fun. And I'm going to still interact with this stream that I love because I know you have a great audience. But just making a really healthy decision where you don't feel like I have to play Magic or, oh God, I have to do this. You have choices, healthy choices, where you make a healthy decision to play and do something else and still have fun. And I think that's wonderful. And I hope that's something everybody takes away from this. It's a great example of how you can deal with these things, you know? So, wow. That, you know, Gabby, I wasn't sure because before we went live, we were like, I think we have plenty to talk about today. And I was like, okay, we got two topics. Normally we try to get three, but we had plenty. This was a great episode, a great ride. We will, you know what? I'm going to say this now, Gabby. There's two things we're committing to. One, we're committing to crushing the Scrybabies.
Yes, obviously.
Okay, that's one. And two, next week, on next week's episode, we will discuss what we are doing
for episode 52. Yes.
Yes. I want to get it out there so that we're both bound. We both have to think about it.
I like it. It's a public commitment. Yeah. It's on the record. Yes. It will be on the show notes.
Thanks for hanging out with us for the last hour. If you're listening to the podcast, check out channelfireball.com or, you know, YouTube. There's a video version. You'll see me in an empty office. You'll see this amazing, immaculate, gorgeous office that Gabby records from. It's where she streams from too. So check that out as well. You can find us on Twitter at @MagicFMPodcast. I'm Mashi Scanlon, the guy on the left at Mashi Scanlon. She's Gabby Spartz at Gabby Spartz. You can find her playing Magic or Among Us on twitch.tv/Gabby Spartz most days of the week. That does it for us this week. We'll be back next week. Until then, be wonderful to yourselves. Be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye.